and welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, Sean Gines is back from the American Cancer Society. He is a senior manager there, and with him, we're going to call you Sean, too. Sean Kelly, Community Development Manager. Welcome, guys. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Well, we got a lot to talk about today. Let's get started with a quick overview about where we stand right now with cancer. Sean, what kind of information do you want to pass on to us in 2019?
Sure. Really, in this year in particular, I'll just kind of give you some estimates and some numbers on, you know, some of the facts and figures going around. In Delaware, for example, in 2019, there will be 5,870 new cases of cancer this year, and almost a little over 2,000 cases that cause death from cancer. And in the U.S., it will be an estimated 1.7 million new cases diagnosed this year. So we're trying to bring those numbers down the best that we can. And there's lots of different ways that we are trying to make that happen through our events, through encouraging people to be healthy, to don't smoke, to eat right. So lots of different ways to help prevent cancer.
When we talk about cancer, what are we talking about? What does the American Cancer Society address?
We really step in from the words, you have cancer. And a lot of people, when we're out interacting with different volunteers or just really anyone we're out with, sometimes people don't consider themselves survivors and they don't think that they've had cancer, so which is kind of an odd thing for us. So really, if you've ever heard the words, you have cancer or you have precancerous cells or anything along those lines to where your cells are abnormal, that we encourage you to reach out to us, that at that point, we can help you. And there's just different ways that we can help. And we want to be there, whether it's our events or whether it's our, you know, our website and that kind of stuff. But a lot of people think, oh, I had skin cancer and I had it burned off. Oh, I'm not a survivor anymore. But that could go to other places and lead to different things. So when you hear those words, reach out to us.
You know, that was kind of what I was getting for right there, because we know of leukemias, we know about multiple myeloma, we hear about melanoma, we hear about those names and we hear those, and do we associate them with the American Cancer Society?
Yeah, I mean, really, you should associate any type of cancer with the American Cancer Society. We cover all cancers, and that's something that we're very proud of, that we don't pick one particular one and focus on it, that we are out there fighting against all cancers and that we're attacking from every angle. And something that we learn from one may help us in another fight. So we're just using all of the knowledge that we have and all of the resources to best attack and get things accomplished that we need to get accomplished.
Well, you kind of alluded to it, but what does the American Cancer Society do? And this is a national organization. You don't really break yourself down into fiefdoms like some of the other organizations do.
That's correct. So like if you would take our mission statement, for example, which kind of really explains it and spells it out for you. The American Cancer Society is the nationwide community-based voluntary health organization dedicated to eliminating cancer as a major health problem by preventing cancer through research, education, and advocacy. So we're literally attacking cancer from every angle that we know.
Okay, so I'm going to guess then that you have direct services to patients and you're funding research. And you've got advocacy. Is that how you parse that down?
Yep. So those three basic things. We do have direct services that we provide to someone who, if they call our 800 number or they reach out to us locally, such as Road to Recovery, which helps get patients to and from their treatment. Because if you have a treatment that you can't get to, it's not doing you any bit of good. So we don't want that to be the reason that someone's not getting their treatment. We have Hope Lodge, which is a great place for the people to stay. It's free of charge to anyone. And so the cancer patient and their caregiver get to stay at a Hope Lodge near cancer treatment centers, usually hospitals or that kind of thing. It's free, and they get to stay there as long as they need to go to their treatment. So that's lots of times the best place for your treatment may not be the place that's 10 miles down the street from you. It may be all the way across the United States. So we're providing people with the opportunity to get the best treatment that they can for whatever type of cancer that they have.
When somebody hears those words, you have cancer, is there anything more terrifying or frightening to someone? What's the first step when someone hears those words? Is it pick up the phone and call you?
It is. Pick up the phone, call. It's 1-800-227-2345. It's 1-800-ACS-2345. Sometimes easier to remember that way. But yes, there is someone on the other end of that telephone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you have a burning question at 2 a.m, or maybe you were diagnosed during the day and you're kind of in shock throughout the day and you just can't process that, but you're trying to lay there and go to sleep and you just have questions that you need an answer to, or you need someone to talk to, you just pick up the phone. And someone, a live person, is on the other end of that telephone and can get you information or can send you in the appropriate direction.
Let's talk about education and your programming there. Is cancer something that we can prevent, or is this based on your genetics and the luck of the draw, or your environment?
Yeah, I mean, it's
what
a little
bit. What does the ACS
say? Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of everything, but there are certain things that we can do to help prevent and help minimize our chances of getting cancer. There is some hereditary to certain types of cancer. There's a lot of research that's geared around that, particularly around breast cancer right now. But there are a lot of things that you can do, that anyone can do, to help minimize their chances. A lot of it is the, you know, eating healthy, being active, and doing the making good choices, and just really focusing on yourself, being a healthy weight, and a healthy weight's different depending, you know, who you are, and not smoking. So there's lots of things that you can do even before you even think you might even have the chance or the risk to help minimize.
It's funny, I just saw some headlines. I can't remember what publication I read them in, about youth getting cancers earlier because of obesity.
Yes. In fact, we were sharing that internally over the past couple days, that reading those headlines. And it's kind of scary. There's a lot of cancers that are affecting our young adults, too. One of our things right now, that a couple months ago, was colon cancer is affecting people of younger ages than had previously been impacted. And a lot of that probably comes back to diet, because we don't necessarily have the best diets these days. We're, you know, in hustle and bustle, keeping going, and you grab whatever you can, wherever you can, and it's impacting us. So it's just being aware of what you're doing to your body to help cut down on your chances.
Are certain cancers coming up while others are going down? Because it's not just youth. I know women and lung cancer is a big problem. I think the last time you were in, we were discussing that in passing. Mm-hmm. With youth, the weight problems, pancreatic cancer increasing, or at least their chance of getting it goes up.
Yeah, there aren't cancers that are increasing, but there's groups within the types of cancers that are increasing. So like what we just talked about, like colon cancer, that the instances of colon cancer are coming down, but the instances are going up in certain age brackets. So it's just depending on who's really taken to heart what they're being told, and are they really doing what they should be doing to help minimize those impacts. So I think that's where we're running into, like even with lung cancer and those kinds of things, there's lots of different things that are geared towards the younger audience, and maybe the older audience has realized, maybe I really should stop this, but so the totals are dropping, but it's shifting in age demographics. So it's really kind of keeping an eye on that who are we getting the message to the right person now?
So baby boomers took it to heart and started getting their colonoscopies and taking care of themselves, while younger people are getting heavier and they're upping their numbers.
Right. So yeah, we're kind of changing the scales a little bit. So we need, you know, everyone to be on board with doing the right thing and making healthy choices for themselves.
And no scales, pun intended.
That's
there.
Right, no.
None at all. But what about your advocacy work? You want to point to any successes or anything that the American Cancer Society has achieved over the years? And
sure.
What are you working on now?
So we've achieved lots of great things throughout the past couple years. We've had a $2 billion increase in medical research funding over the past couple years that we've been working on, specifically to increase the $1 billion over years. The one thing we're doing locally right now that's actually catching on across the United States as well is raising the minimum age for tobacco purchase up to 21. It's part of the T21 bill. You may see that come across or hear about that in the news, and that's what that's geared towards, is raising the minimum age up to 21 to purchase cigarettes. Oddly enough, I saw a state the other day that was contemplating raising it up to 100. So I don't know whether that was a joke or whether they're serious, but it'll be interesting to see how things go. And people are realizing that if they don't have access to certain things, that they don't do it, and therefore it's cutting them the instances down.
David Morris was in a couple weeks ago from the American Heart Association, and he was talking about T21.
Yep.
And I'm sure that when the Lung Association comes in, eventually they're going to say that the T21 is going to be really important for them. But what about health insurance, or what about other issues like that are really
hot topics right now? Super hot topics. We really push access to care for everyone, and making sure that everyone has the opportunity to get whatever treatment that they need or get the services that they need. And the nice part about the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network, which is actually our sister organization that does a lot of our lobbying and legislative issues, they publicize a lot of information that is nonpartisan. So it doesn't have an agenda behind it. It's not one-sided or, you know, whatever. That it's, here's the facts and the figures. This is, you know, maybe a certain politician votes a certain way. And, you know, just kind of keeping everyone in the know. That's a lot of what we do with our legislative stuff, that we don't want to be in the middle of the politics, but there are certain political issues that we need to push forward so that people do get the care that they need, and that if they had cancer and it's a pre-existing condition, that they don't get disqualified from getting a plan later in life. So just making sure that everyone is treated fairly and equally. And keeping things moving forward.
You can tell me to pound sand or look it up on the website. How many of us are living as survivors right now? When you're looking at a lifetime, what are the odds that you are going to have to get a cancer?
So it's 2 out of 3 is generally the average. So if you think about that, that's right. Just knowing that. It should almost kind of scare you to some degree. Like, I need to take care of myself, that there's a good chance that if I'm not doing that, that things will happen to me. It varies depending on, you know, male versus female and certain other demographics. It plays a big part, and it's kind of a scary number to think a lot of people are impacted by this. And I think what a lot of people think is they assume cancer, that it's debilitating, that it takes you out. That isn't necessarily always the case, like we mentioned earlier, that sometimes it's just skin cancer. And I don't mean just, but that it doesn't take you out. You're not out of commission for, you know, weeks or months on end. So there's a lot of survivors out there, and it's something to be recognized, because one little instance of cancer can spread and do a lot of harm throughout your body.
And so then, what is the research that you're working on? I know you said you got your research increased. You got $2 billion over the $1 billion before. And what about the moonshot? How is that campaign going? Are we looking at new areas now? What's the American Cancer Society funding?
Yeah, so we're certainly looking at new areas, and that's always been our stance on research. We want the newest and brightest researchers that have like a crazy idea, or they have a little bit of proof that this might work, and we give them the funding that they need to kind of get off the ground, because once they've gotten off the ground, they have the ability to apply for other grants and other sources of income from the government like I said, other organizations that are willing to give them money. But we find that if we invest in the early researchers that wouldn't necessarily get the funding because they don't have years upon years upon years of proof and documented evidence, that we're finding that we can make great strides in finding cures for cancer, or finding treatments, or finding medication, or whatever the case may be. In fact, since 1946, the American Cancer Society has invested over $4.8 billion into research. So we're trying to catch up to the national, you know, the federal government, but we'll never ever be able to you know, fund what they do. And that's why the advocacy, like we were talking about earlier, is really important too, that we encourage them to fund stuff beyond what we're getting started.
This is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are talking about the American Cancer Society. And if you'd like more information, go to cancer.org. That's real easy, cancer.org. You'll find information about everything that we have talked about today. And they do have a 24/7 hotline number as well, 800-ACS-2345. And that's real easy too, ACS-2345. And I'm guessing that you are all over social media as well.
We are, yep. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those. So you can find the American Cancer Society really anywhere you want. And we're there sharing our information and sharing our passion.
And with us today is Sean Gines, Senior Manager with the American Cancer Society, and Sean Kelly, who is Community Development Manager. And now, Sean, too, let us talk a little bit about, and Sean, jump in here, too, of course. But, Sean, we were talking about getting the message a few minutes ago, and I mentioned baby boomers who are supposedly eating better and getting colonoscopies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Are we missing any communities when we talk about cancer? Are we, by stigma or by just, you know, lack of access, are we missing anybody in this message?
I think we're definitely missing a good chunk of people. I think one of the biggest people that we're, our communities that we're trying to look for now is our LGBTQ community. I think for so long we've been trying to focus on the baby boomers that we've kind of forgot some of our younger parties that we have with us and the LGBTQ community. I mean, I know in that community we've been focusing so hard with HIV and AIDS that cancer has also taken a back seat to that. Now that things are getting a little bit better in some aspects, I think it's time to remind people that cancer's there. I mean, it was really shocking when I started with the American Cancer Society to learn that us in the gay community, we're 27% more likely to smoke in comparison to the 18% of young adults outside of that community. That's one in four people. But looking at myself, I was a smoker myself, and I started when I was 18. And I'm thankful that I have stopped and quit, and I can tell that my life is better. But so many of my other friends, I'd be going to the bars, especially when you're down south. You can smoke inside those bars, and that's our safe haven to go to. Everyone is smoking. You know, I mean, there's other issues that are in there as well with drug use and other kind of activities that just aren't necessarily as most helpful to preventing cancer. I mean, that's the first thing you can do. Smoking is the most preventable thing you can do to not get cancer. So we're really just trying to focus in on letting people know that we're there, we have opportunities to help stop that. And on top of that, there's a lot of stigma about reaching out to your healthcare provider. And that's hard, especially when you're trying to come to terms with who you are as an individual, trying to have someone who's as important as your healthcare provider to have that conversation about your physical health, whether you're transitioning as being transgender or you're just trying to communicate how your love interest and your health is, because we may not feel as comfortable talking about it to others.
I have heard this from many other organizations, that a comfort level with your physician is a huge barrier for getting information and for getting care. And this is a problem that other organizations have said that they've experienced with this.
Well, absolutely. Just 2 weeks ago, the American Cancer Society put out some news articles that oncologists want to know more about this community. You know, it's not that there seems to be some disconnect between the providers and our patients, that we both want the same thing, but we don't want to admit it. So now we're finally taking the step in saying, everyone wants to help each other. We are there for you. And I think that's something that moving forward is going to be really impactful, is your doctor wants to know about you. They want you to ask those questions that may not seem the most comfortable, because it only helps them learn and help do what they need to do.
Well, so what is the solution here? what is the solution to this? If you're uncomfortable about talking to your physician, if you're not even comfortable revealing your sexuality or your gender identification, what is the answer to this sort of a situation? Is this talking to it and addressing it in medical schools, or is it peer counseling now to the medical profession that this is a problem?
I think the first step, at least from a patient side of everything, is if you feel uncomfortable and you know that you need to talk to someone, call our number, that 1-800-227-2345, because if you are uncomfortable talking about someone face-to-face, sometimes having that conversation over the phone with someone that you've never met, even as just to talk out, we have with our insurance navigators, our peer counselors, I mean, they're there to help you. And that might be able to cross that bridge to get to that doctor. And I think we are coming into a spot on the doctor side from just the things that I've seen, is people are people no matter who you are. And I do think that doctors know this, And no matter what comes up, you know, we are fantastic beasts that need to get taken care of, and doctors do their very best to understand that at the end of the day, you're a human being.
So it's really outreach to the community, too, to say, speak up, go in, get tests, give up the cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So it's talking to the community itself, which is underinsured.
That is, and that's, it is getting better now that, of course, we LGBTQ marriages are legal now, but it all stemmed back from when you couldn't get married. If you had a partner, they couldn't get onto your insurance, and that led to a lot of things. So now that it's getting better, but it's still not there. And I think that's one thing that we're trying to push, especially with our insurance navigators that we do have at the American Cancer Society. We can at least push you in the right direction to say, this is where you should go. This is what you can do. So that's really where this can come up from in there. And understand that if you've had a negative experience with a provider in the past, if you have problems, try it again. Mm-hmm. This is 2019. I think that we can all take a new step forward and say, maybe we can do this again.
Well, getting the message out to the community and doing it in a way where it's fun, there's no stigma attached, you're not talking about testing, you're talking about just information passing and making the word cancer not the taboo subject that it has been for so many. You got an event coming up.
Absolutely. So we are going to be putting on, we call it Love, Lipstick, and Lashes, Queens for a Cure. We have 7 area drag queens coming together to celebrate our community and also to raise awareness about cancer in our LGBTQ communities. So it's just meant to be a night of fun, exciting song, dance, everyone just coming together to say, we're here, let's talk about this. And all funds go to the American Cancer Society.
Well, who's going to be there?
So our event is actually hosted. Her name is Bree Daniels. She's actually from Central Delaware. She has traveled all over the United States. And so she's been helping here, trying to get everyone in the right direction. We have Miss Veronica Kitten. She is from the Wilmington, Newark area. She performs up here at Oddity Bar all the time. She's great. We have from Rehoboth, Miss Monique Lamore. I think she's called the original Dancing Queen of Rehoboth. She is a blast to see. We have from Central Delaware, Miss Peaches, or Miss Georgia Peach, if you know her. She is absolutely amazing. I've never seen anyone just as colorful. From D.C., we have Miss Christina Kelly. She's actually coming up here. She works amazing. I have never seen anybody bring anyone to church like she does. And for our super special guest, we actually have from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 5 finalist and RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 2 finalist, Miss Roxy Andrews. We are so excited to have her there as well to bring the house down, because there is no one who performs like Miss Roxy Andrews. I can tell you that much right now.
And could you have asked for a better venue than
Right,
the
why would
Queen?
You not want to have a drag show at The Queen? And if you have never been to The Queen, it is an amazing space. Just to know a little bit about their history walking into it and it coming from nothing and coming up to where it is now, we are so excited to have this partnership with them to be able to be at that venue.
And it is March 16th, and tickets are on sale now, right?
They are on sale. You can get your tickets at lovelipsticklashes.org. Again, that's lovelipsticklashes.org. We actually have a little bit of different kind of ticketing. So we have our $25 general admission. We have our $35 ticket, which is the general admission plus meet and greet. So you can actually go and get your picture taken with the queens, get a signature on a nice special thing that we're making so you can keep it. And then we also have our VIP tickets for the $45 that does include a seat, a special VIP bar, plus the meet and greet. And tickets are limited. I mean, we would love to fit 2.5 million people inside of a theater, but there's just not the space. So, I mean, I recommend everyone coming and getting your ticket now before they all sell out.
And the message, of course, is that cancer affects everyone. It doesn't know any age level. It doesn't know whether, you know, what your sexual proclivity is or your race or your ethnicity. It's crossing all lines.
And to go beyond that, actually, I forgot to mention Jenna Tall, who we have crossing from New Jersey. She is actually transgender. So I wanted everybody, young, old, white, black, Hispanic, you know, cisgender, transgender, it affects everybody. And the message that I want to send to everybody is The American Cancer Society is here for you. If you didn't think about it before, we're here. We're here to help. At the end of the day, we will always have your back, and we're part of family, too.
And of course, this is outreach into communities, and I alluded to ethnicity and to race as well. There are communities that just do not want to talk about this. And is outreach into these a problem? Do you have any special programming to get out into church groups or in multiple languages, et cetera?
Yeah, it actually is one of our focuses, for especially just outreach to FQI or federally qualified health systems, and reaching out to them and making sure that we're getting the underserved, or like you said, the populations that don't want to talk about it. They're like, they just can't handle that, or they don't want to bring it up. But a lot of our events that we have in general, we really focus on ensuring that the events that we host match the communities that we're in, so that we're not just catering to one specific area of our community, that we are reaching out to everyone in our community, no matter what you know, separates you, that we are here for the entire community. Like Sean said, kind of like one big happy family, like everyone. The phone number doesn't just answer for certain types of people. The website's not only available, you know, for whoever. It's, we're here for anybody and everybody to call. And it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So whenever you get the chance or when you have the question, reach out.
Is language a barrier there?
No. So the website's available and has different languages that you can get it in. And we also have translators that, so if you call into the 800 number, the 800-ACS-2345, if depending on whatever language you speak, they'll get someone to talk to you. And it can even be Touchstone or the TTY service as well. So we don't want anything to stop you from getting your treatments.
Now, how can we get involved beyond getting your ticket for Love Lipstick and Lashes? What are some of the other ways we can get involved?
Sure. One thing that we have going on right now is the American Cancer Society's Daffodil Days. And you may remember last year we brought them back. We used to do them for many years, and they kind of went to the wayside. But, you know, we were really missing them. They're the first flower of spring. They're bright. They're vibrant. They bring a lot of hope. We call them the flower of hope internally. So we're bringing them back. This is year two of really kind of hitting it hot and heavy with the daffodils. So you can pre-order daffodils through the American Cancer Society through a donation. It's $10 for a donation for a bunch of daffodils, or $15 for a pot of mini daffodils that you can actually replant, and they'll come back up every year after year. You can add to them every year as well. And so to get your daffodils, you can place an order. We like to think we've made it easy this year. You can call the local office if you would like. That's 302-324-4227. You can also call the 800 number and they'll patch you through. Or you can visit delmarvadaffodils.org. So that's delmarvadaffodils.org, and you can place your order for the pots or the bunches. You can also give a gift of hope, and we use the funds that come from the gifts of hope to deliver daffodils to cancer patients in hospitals that are currently going through treatment. So kind of all-encompassing. It's a really good feel-good program, and it's really exciting when you in March. So the flowers get delivered March 18th to our local office. So depending on how many you get, you can either pick them up or they'll get delivered to you. That it just brightens your day. So it's a lot of fun, and it's, you know, a great way to give back.
Volunteers.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We're always looking for volunteers for any of our events to help in the office. We partner with Catch a Fire, which is a volunteer or matching service, so that if maybe you're a designer and you love designing things, that when we need posters designed or flyers or whatever the case may be, we'll reach out to Catch a Fire. And if you've submitted your expertise for whatever field you're in, that you may have the opportunity to help us with some various projects. So there's always that. There's office volunteers to help with mailings. And of course, a lot of our large events, our Relay for Life events and our Making Strides Against Breast Cancer event that happens in the fall. So we have lots of opportunities. If you call the 800 number and kind of tell them what you're looking for and as far as a volunteer opportunity, they'll also match you up and send you along to the office, and we'll get your information and we'll reach out to you to kind of match you up with whatever makes the most sense for you and what your passion is.
Well, that is great. And we are out of time.
No.
We made it Sean 1 and Sean 2. And so, of course, for everything that we talked about today, go to cancer.org. That is your end-all be-all for all information about the American Cancer Society, cancer.org. You can get to your local chapter through that. For Love Lipstick and Lashes, go to lovelipsticklashes.org. You can buy your tickets there, get more information about that. And of course, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if you are looking for information in any language, on any topic, whatever it is, you can call them. Call the American Cancer Society at 800-ACS-2345. ACS-2345. My guest today from the American Cancer Society, Community Development Manager Sean Kelly and Senior Manager Sean Gines. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.